Hey folks, we are back live in Anaheim, California at the Build Conference. My name is Dan Fernandez, and Christian, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Christian Schrum, and I'm Director of Program Management in the Microsoft Expression team.
Awesome. So we are talking about Blend, a wonderful product. And for those of you that can actually get on Twitter, since we are, it appears that Twitter is down here, hashtag CH9Live. We should probably give out some phone numbers and let people text in questions. But we are talking about Expression Blend and specifically some of the design tools to build applications. So if you have questions, definitely let us know. But Christian, and we are going to get to some demos, but what's new with Blend? Can give the high level, what are the pillars, if you will, of new stuff in the product?
So here at the show, we're really... We have been announcing really one big thing, and that is Blend for HTML. Obviously, most people know Blend as our premier authoring tool for our XAML-based platforms. We've been thinking for a few years, how could we apply all the things that we learned, you know, when building Blend for XAML? How could we apply that to build applications in HTML?
Right.
So traditionally, obviously, the web has all been about content sites, you know, all about documents. In fact, HTML itself, of course, has been designed as a markup language for documents, not for applications. And now that, you know, the web is becoming more and more a platform for applications, the big question is, how do you make people productive and cost-effective to actually build applications in HTML? And of course, we care very much about the design, and so, you know, Blend is a tool that really takes a design-centric point of view for how do you actually design user experiences and user interfaces based on HTML and CSS. And of course, this is all targeted at Windows 8, so the big target of, you know, if you really want to know what Blend for HTML is about, it's about two things. It's about applications and it's about Windows 8.
Sure, sure, and the Metro-style applications. And again, we are taking questions here, so if you can get through, I do have a question that I want to get to. F. Killer asks, what will differentiate Expression Web and Blend in HTML5 from a tool point of view?
So both are really completely different. Expression Web is a traditional website design tool. It was built for content sites, exactly what I said before. That's exactly the distinction I was trying to make. So Expression Web is all about websites. It has all the features that are about server-based stuff, about uploading websites to servers and doing all the things that you need to do when you build a site. Blend for HTML is all about applications. That is really about building user experiences, not websites. And Expression Blend for HTML is really Blend. It is based on the Blend code base, but it's a native HTML editor. So it is not, you know, like XAML editor that just outputs HTML. It is a native HTML and CSS editor.
Right. And you know, there's so many similarities between XAML and HTML. So I just have some questions in terms of how the Blend editing works. So when, you know, you're working with Blend, you typically work in a resource dictionary. You can define different files. Do you have basically the equivalent for CSS then? So like I can visually design something and then extract it, if you will, as a CSS style that can be reused across my application?
Well, really styling is probably the area where XAML and HTML are most radically different. CSS is a very, very different way of styling. It takes a very different approach. Instead of having styles that are directly applied to elements, you basically have a query language, selectors in CSS, where you basically say, here's a query, and all the elements that are hit by this query, they get, you know, a certain set of properties applied. On top of it, there's not just one of these queries, but there's a whole stack of them that cascades, you know, like where they all overlay and overlap. And that is a real challenge.
And tooling. Even overwrite each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that is a fairly complicated thing. So the whole styling story in Blend for HTML is all about CSS, and it's very native CSS, and it's built, you know, like to work well with CSS. And there's one really important twist. When you build applications in HTML, you really almost always, you know, focus everything you do around JavaScript. HTML doesn't have all the native constructs to basically be a markup language for building UI declaratively. So there's a lot of stuff that is, you know, done in JavaScript. For example, controls are almost always entirely written in JavaScript. There is no declarative control model built into HTML.
Right.
And
right.
So one thing that we needed to deal with is if you have an app that, in, you know, where the whole UI consists entirely out of JavaScript and out of dynamically generated elements, how do you style that? And so Blend is very different in one aspect from pretty much any other HTML editor I know, and that is that it always runs code on the design surface. So the JavaScript code of your app actually runs, and therefore all the stuff that is dynamically generated is actually visible. For example, in this little demo app that you see here, that's a little memory game UI that I'm going to build tomorrow in my session on Blend.
Right.
So little advertisement, I have a session tomorrow.
And the session will be available to download about 24 hours afterwards.
And if I switch this app into interactive mode, I can actually start the game right here on the design surface in Blend and actually play it. It's a simple memory card game, so it's all about, you know, finding pairs of cards, which of course now, just for the sake of this demo, I can't find
There's a pair.
So, but all the cards here on the game field are actually dynamically generated in JavaScript. They don't exist. Yet, if I go back and look at this app, let me zoom out here a little bit, all the content is actually here. And in fact, you see this timer happily continuing ticking, even if I'm in the design surface. So this is very important, because if I would load this app in a traditional HTML website design tool that only looks at HTML and CSS, I would really see nothing, because this whole game board doesn't even exist in markup. So there's nothing in the HTML file that could be displayed.
Everything's called from an init function that onload, and you don't actually see anything.
Exactly. And here, even though these elements are dynamically generated, I can still go, let me find the style for that. That is too many styles. Let's use this style. This style I was looking for. Actually, that's a found card, so I need the found card. I can still go, you know, like, and say, what am I doing wrong? Picking the wrong element. Oh, I know why. Sorry, wrong style. I'm doing something wrong. Sorry.
This is live debugging as we were.
Live debugging, indeed. I'm for some reason picking the wrong style here. I'm not entirely sure why right now. So I'm just going to skip that. Actually, undo this. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll skip that one.
So it is important to note that this is a live view of data. And I think what's really interesting is so many developers or people that have been developing with JavaScript and other third-party libraries like jQuery have been used to needing to have, you know, they have a text editor of some sort, and then they have a web browser, and they're F5, you know, clicking refresh. Mm-hmm. On a web page to see this. And this gives you, you know, the dynamic interactive directly on the site.
Yeah. I mean, for example, the typical thing I would want to do, let's say, for example, here this game gives me the ability to have the game board in 4x4 cards or in 6x6 or in 8x8 cards. But the only way to get into that state is by running actually some JavaScript code. So normally what I would have to do is I would have to run the app, hit that button, then go into my browser tools with F12, and then I can look at what the styles are. But in the browser, I can't really edit them because I can't go back to my original document.
Right.
Whereas here in Blend, all I need to do is I switch to interactive mode. I need to stop the game first. I make the switch into, you know, like the right game that calls the code that would regenerate here this game board. I go back to my design surface, and now I can style using this state basically as the base state to start from. So fundamentally, this whole cycle of having to restart and all that is basically collapsed into one thing. And more importantly, if I do this repeatedly, so let's say I'm starting the game again, and I'm just, you know, opening one image here, and I go out, do something in Blend, and come back into interactive mode, the state is preserved, so I don't have to do this over and over again, because basically I'm just switching the app from running into editing dynamically, and I'm just editing the live app. It's kind of like open heart surgery, so I'm directly going into the app itself.
I love that. Just thinking about the live experience, now can we take this and reuse some of those open source libraries that we do, like jQuery? If folks have an investment in, say, jQuery controls or that, do they get the same live experience, or where do you sort of draw the line in terms of what can and can't happen on the live preview?
So we really don't control that. That is actually more a question for the Windows 8 framework team, or for the Windows 8 platform team, I should say.
Okay.
Because really, we don't control which things actually run on the design surface. We're using exactly the same engine that actually runs the app when you run the app in Windows. So anything that is allowed to run there, we would run as well, right? So
awesome.
If jQuery controls run in Windows 8 in the Windows 8 app, they also run in Blend. There's no difference between the two things.
Got it. As far as you're concerned, it's whatever they support.
Yes.
We
don't
care.
Anything that is permitted. Now, there are some security restrictions in Windows 8. For example, you can't set inner text with arbitrary HTML inside of a Metro style app, because that would be a potential security violation, and that might break the sandbox. So there might be jQuery controls, I don't know, that actually use techniques like that, which is not a very secure technique to do. And if you want something to be in a perfect sandbox, that's probably not a great idea. So there might be certain restrictions to that. But again, that is a question that you best ask the Windows folks.
And a lot of people are using Blend today are using that to do XAML animation. So is the capability to do the recording and, ease in, ease out animation, is that available for HTML JavaScript applications?
So our current preview does not have support for CSS animations. It does have support for CSS transitions, though. So for example, these little transitions here that you see, that these cards fade in and out, that is actually all done in Blend using the Blend CSS transition tools.
Oh, awesome. So can you show some of the CSS transition tools?
Sure.
Just to put you on the spot in real time.
That's no problem. Let me actually go back to 4x4 so that the cards aren't so small. Let's keep the game running. So here you see the transitions going on these. And now I just have to remember where I actually set these properties. I believe they are set on this one. So here you see the transition editor, and what it does is it's kind of like a mini timeline. And in CSS transitions, you basically kind of like set up a watcher that says, hey, whenever this property changes, instead of changing it immediately, no matter how it changes, if through code or through another style that is being applied, you basically add a watcher and say, whenever this property changes its value, instead of switching the value immediately, transition it over using the defined transition.
Okay.
And so with this UI, what you can do is you can choose the property that you want to have, or any number of properties. For example, I can just go and add border to this if I wanted to. And then I can just say, hey, how long you want to have it. For example,
I made
it 1.5 seconds. I can set a delay. I can drag this whole thing around. I can set an easing function. And basically, that's all it takes to say, hey, now whenever the border property would change on that, it would do this animation. Now, that doesn't make much sense here because there is no border applied, but you get the idea.
Sure.
In fact, the property that you see there, that is, let me just undo that so that it's not in the way. The property that you actually see here, opacity, is really the one that is used to blend in these images whenever I play the game. So as I'm running here, so whenever these images come in, that is exactly what this transition is that you just saw there.
Yeah, we see the opacity coming in and the image fading in and out. Now, some of the, we heard from some of the big picture talks that there's animations within WinRT. How exactly does that, do developers call into those APIs directly from Blend? Is that different than the CSS transition that you just showed, or how does that all work?
So there are different layers of animation. So CSS itself provides two specifications for animation-related things. One is CSS transitions, which is basically where you say, hey, whenever the value of this property changes, apply a transition instead of switching the value directly. And there's CSS animation, which is basically keyframe animation in the same way as we have it in XAML. It's basically, you set keyframes and you animate things across a timeline however you like.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, Windows has created these animation presets. And again, the Windows platform team would be the better team to discuss that. And these animation currently are JavaScript functions. So you basically use these from code.
Okay, so you can programmatically call into them.
Absolutely.
Within your Blend application.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me about some of the other stuff that goes into building an application like this. So they mentioned some of the things that Blend can give you to test your UI from the 7-inch, I think, to 27-inch.
Yes. That is actually pretty cool. One of the things, of course, that the applications you want to build for Windows, you want these applications to be resizable and scale from when you have a little 10-inch tablet or a 27-inch monitor. And it's always good if you can preview these things effectively. And so we added this platform panel here to Blend. And let me just zoom out a little bit that we can see that better. So right now we have this app here running in the default resolution, 1366 by 7068. You can see that up here. And I have a whole list of these standard resolutions that I can just put my design surface in. So for example, I want to see the app in 2560 by 1440. Let me again zoom out so that we can see that better. So you can see the UI in this app kept exactly the same size as before, but now we have much more space for the playing cards.
Right. And,
so let me switch to some other resolution that would be 1920 by 1080. This would be 1280 by 800, you know, 1366 by 7068. So you can try out how your app actually looks like. The other thing that you can do, which is even cooler, is that you can try out the different view states and orientations that Windows 8 supports. So
So let's see those. I think I see portrait there.
Exactly. There are all four of them here. So the first one is when you have an app snapped, then the app has less space, right? Because this space is taken up by the snapped app. And so in this case, you see that in this case, we just use auto layout to just have this app automatically, you know, fit into that space. But if
this
we go
great.
To snap, then that doesn't really work. If I would do the same thing in Snap, right, there's just not enough space. So here I'm using a completely different layout. Blend actually fires the media queries that would also fire when the app is actually running. So you can really design for these different resolutions very, very straightforwardly. So in this layout, for example, I have moved the UI from the column here to the left and put it on top. And I've also been hiding a few UI elements because there's just not enough space here to have all the UI on space. And then if I go to Portrait, let's zoom this a little bit. So again, same thing. I moved all the UI from the left on top, but this time I have space for all the different UI elements, so there's nothing filtered away. And again, this is all done by basically firing media queries. So whenever the view changes in a Metro style application that is written in HTML, a media query changes, and Blend has full support of letting you edit these media queries and preview these media queries so that it's very, very easy to make the adaptable UI.
And can we show exactly how one does that, maybe just for this example? Because it's really interesting to see how the adaptive UI from going from a full screen experience to something where we want to hide specific elements based on its state.
So this one is actually a fairly complicated example, but I do have a simpler one that is easier to show and easier to easier to understand. Let me just open this. So this is just a bunch of divs that I have positioned with absolute positioning on the screen. Let me just show you how these are positioned. So these divs are just positioned here with position with absolute positioning. You can see that on the properties here and just put in a particular position, okay?
And by the way, we should not be using, as a general rule, absolute positioning is not a good thing. Is that fair to say, or is it it depends?
It's it depends. If you want to make a resizable app, no, that's probably not an ideal practice.
Okay.
But it has the advantage that it is very easy to show how the media query stuff works because you don't have to fuss around with so many different pieces. And as this particular example is really to show how you deal with media queries, I took the liberty to not care that much about resizability. But yes, the problem of absolute positioning is that if I go here from 1366 by 768 to the full resolution, right, these elements just stay where they are, right? They don't reposition, and there's no way for them to use the additional space.
Or even resize, right?
Or this, actually, just to show that again, right, they don't resize. Now, sometimes that is actually desired, right? Sometimes you want to have an app where things are absolutely positioned on screen, and then absolute positioning is just fine.
Sure.
So, for example, in my little game app that you've seen before, I am actually using absolute positioning to position the logo because the logo sits in a space in the app in the upper left corner that never resizes, however the app goes, and it was just
convenient to do that.
You may not
want a monster logo, right?
Exactly. So, sometimes it's the right thing to do, sometimes not. So let's come back to this example. Let's zoom in a little bit and switch this now over to Portrait View. So in Portrait View, you clearly see that none of that stuff actually adapts properly.
Right.
And let's go to our Styles panel. And in the Styles panel, I already have set up a media query that fires. Let's actually call this up in code just to show what a media query actually is, as I'm not assuming that everybody, wrong file. Everybody knows actually what a media query is. A media query is an expression that says, apply all the rules that are inside here whenever the media we are displaying on is a screen and it has the Microsoft View State device portrait set.
Okay.
So hey, whenever you're in Portrait, apply these styles additionally. And right now these styles are just empty. I didn't put anything in there, but let me show how you would do that. So If I select my element on the design surface here over in my CSS properties panel over there, I get a list of all the styles that are applied, all the style rules that are applied to the element that determine how the objects are actually positioned. And this one here is the one in the media query, and that currently has no property set. And all I need to do is select this particular style and just change the position to wherever I want. So can do the same thing here with the green guy. Again, set the choose the right style rule, move it over here. Do it again with the blue element, but the blue element hides away somewhere over here. Select the right style. Oops, I did not mean to select. I wanted to drag this over, drag it over here. Let's do it again with the container. Same exercise. Just doing this, I can also resize that. You know, pick this guy, do the same thing one more time. And if I now switch back in my platform panel between these things, it all resizes properly, except I made a mistake. The blue element, I accidentally changed the wrong style rule. So, you know, I can move that back here and do this again. You know, it's actually sometimes a good thing to do that wrong because it helps with the explanation. So now I got the right style rule, and now as I switch that back, you know, this app properly switches between these. And if we go back to our CSS, all these properties were now set just in this particular media query, and they override whatever value the properties have when I'm in the default view, when I'm in the default platform. That's really a pretty easy thing. It's just pick the right style, the style that is active when you are when the media query is active, and you're done.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, it's really just getting used to the media query and the media query syntax, that we are going to define a specific style for each of the different states, if you will.
That's actually pretty much standard media query stuff. The only thing that we are adding specifically is these identifiers here that identify a particular view state, because that is Windows 8 specific. But otherwise, media queries as a standard CSS technique has been around forever. It's really nothing special.
And it's probably new, I'd say, for existing Expression Blend users.
Honestly, almost everything we're doing here is going to be new for Expression Blend users. Honestly, this system is designed for people who understand HTML and CSS. It's designed for professionals in web technologies who know that stuff really well. Unfortunately, CSS is a complex technology. I mean, it's simple syntax, but it is actually very sophisticated technology with very complicated rules and very sophisticated rules. And if you want to use CSS effectively, you got to understand some of that stuff. So Blend is not designed, you know, like to abstract away the complexity and say, oh, we make it all easy. No, it's to give you the power to actually do the things you want to do. It's about expressivity more than it is about pure, you know, like, oh, make CSS all of a sudden that simple. CSS is complex technology. It has huge power. And we expose that power and we make it very usable. We give you immediate visual feedback. We let you focus not on the syntax, but on the concepts that you really want to play with. And it's really a lot of fun to do CSS with Blend. But yes, you do need to understand CSS as a platform.
Cool. So I love this stuff. And unfortunately, we are out of time. But what is the name of your session? For people that want to know more, because I know some of these examples are going to be in here. And frankly, I have many more questions.
Hold on. The name of my session is probably easiest found if I actually pull it up because I have a lousy memory. It is a deep dive into Expression Blend for designing metro-style apps using HTML.
There's a reason why you pulled it up. That's definitely a long one. But this has been awesome. And for people that want to download Expression Blend and start playing with it, is it available to download? Is it available in the Windows 8 build?
Just download the Windows Developer Preview, and it's part of that. You just go, once you have it loaded up, you just go here to the tile that says Expression Blend 5 Developer Preview. We couldn't find a shorter name. And there you are.
Awesome. Thank you, Christian, so much. And thank you all. That actually concludes Channel 9 Live for today. We will be on tomorrow, and our start time is 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And thank you, Christian. With Anders Halesberg. So we'll be talking about some C# async and await. So it should be good stuff. Looking forward to that. Thanks, everyone.